Okay, folks, if you join me by taking out your message notes from last week, we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit does not include quarreling, okay? Please pull that out and that extra sheet of paper that I was asking you to write down your past quarrels on, because there are more action steps to take with that this morning as we go further into our study of what we're looking at. Now, if you're beginning to feel a little twinge of guilt as we're going through this particular series, that's okay, okay? The series was birthed when the Holy Spirit made a strong conviction in my life for a sinful act that I did towards Kathy. And he took me into one of those wonderful gnosko moments where I had that DPE, that deep personal experience with him in the Word. And as he has been teaching me, so I have been bringing that teaching to all of us, because I've found that through the testimony of a number of GHC seers, they're also sorry for particular quarrels that they've been a part of, and recognize what takes place in the long term with these quarrels. So quarreling is something we want to avoid, and we're looking in James chapter 4 for the most part with regard to what our Heavenly Father wants to let us know. So again, if you feel conviction, that's a good thing. Don't take it as your total flop or something like that. Our Heavenly Father, as you've recognized, if you've walked with me through the Word of God, He's asking for change. He wants to bring change. We are to be the new creation. We are to imitate Him. We are to be conformed to the image of His wonderful Son. And for some of us, that change comes a little bit harder. So, having said that, we're going to look at His words. And by looking at His words, it is to help us to become wise, all right? Wise. In James chapter 3 now, in chapter 3 verses 5 through 6, it reads this way from a paraphrase. The tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do. You agree with that? You've seen that in your life from time to time?
Amen.
A great forest can be set on fire by one tiny spark. And if anyone should be aware of forest fires and brush fires, it should be us. So last month, we have had over 25 such things doing massive destruction to our state over the last 4 or 5 weeks. And the tongue can turn our whole lives into a blazing flame of destruction and disaster. And family, just to remind you of, again, of how we came to this study on a Saturday morning, because of something said, I found that I was doing massive destruction by bringing about a disaster in my relationship with the beautiful woman that God the Father gave me to complete me. When we lack self-control, one of the beautiful aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit living in us, part of that fruit is self-control. But when we lack it, we become vulnerable to all kinds of problems. And as I spoke in weeks past, I had not had my DPE with the Lord Jesus the morning that I terribly misspoke to Kathy. Anything out of control in your life can harm other people and damage your close relationships. Uncontrolled anger, uncontrolled lust, uncontrolled addictions, uncontrolled spending, uncontrolled drinking, or ambition can create enormous problems. But the greatest destroyer of relationships is our uncontrolled tongue. I read once that the average person has over 30 conversations a day. That was before the pandemic quarantine, however. But if it's true, that would mean we spend around one-fifth of our lives talking. And at some point, your mouth is probably going to get you into trouble. It certainly has mine, and just not that one time that was so hurtful with Kathy. Since we talk so much, the odds are against us that we're not going to find ourselves misspeaking. James compares the tongue to a tiny spark, because that's all that's needed to create a great forest fire. A careless word can ignite a relationship that we destroy. It goes up in smoke, if you will. Have you ever met a verbal arsonist? A verbal arsonist. These verbal pyromaniacs go around doing tremendous damage. Some of the fires that we are presently fighting in California were done by a very, very sick type of individual that gets great joy in watching fire do what it does and doesn't care about the lives that he hurts. As a verbal arsonist, their words are dangerous. They use words of discouragement, disappointment, accusation, criticism, sarcasm, condemnation, or just flat-out attacks upon the individual. The list is endless. Sometimes you will not perform as expected. And instead of the person being kind and loving and the fruit of the Spirit being born out, they walk in the flesh and they say horrible things and bring tremendous disaster to a relationship. Gossip is especially destructive because it spreads like an airborne virus. Careless words have destroyed careers, friendships, marriages, and other relationships within the family. Instead of heading in a destructive direction, you can choose your words to build other people up. When you catch a person doing something right, it doesn't even have to be anything terrific, but you catch them doing something right, tell them about it. You know, you have this Yelp online. You can go in and you can say how great you like the restaurant or the place where you take your car to be repaired, or you can blast the people and give them a rotten reputation. I'm one of those people that I don't go online to blast people, but I will write letters. I'll write letters with helpful criticism with a solution, and I also really like writing letters that are the attaboys or the attagirls. You're doing really well. At least for me, when I was with you, I met you, I observed you, I was blessed. And I just want to encourage you along those lines to be the positive encourager, not the disparaging individual tearing people down. Lift them up with your words of encouragement. Building others up with your words isn't difficult, but it seems to be something that is uncommon. The fruit of the Spirit does not include quarreling. If you open your notes, you'll find I asked the question, what causes quarrels? And you'll see there are conflicting desires inside me. And then we talked about that. And I gave you an action plan. And I hope you're looking at that action plan now. I also asked the question, what will help me quarrel less? And there are 7 things that will help Ron Seidel quarrel less. And since they all come from the Word of God, I'm quite sure that the Holy Spirit will help you as well to quarrel less if you will put the action steps to work. The first thing we looked at was we were to realize how destructive quarreling is. It's awful. And I gave you an action plan to begin working on. These action plans build on each other. The second thing is decide that you want to change. Decide you want to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Decide you want to really be like him, changed, and look for getting forgiveness from those to whom you know you have injured. And to those you may be guessing you may have injured, you go and seek their forgiveness, and they may say, oh, really, don't worry about that. You know, I know I had a part in that. Or they may not even know that you thought that you had hurt them. But seek forgiveness. That's important. You look them in the eye, and you specifically tell them what it is that you did, and you're sorry for it with no excuses. Just seek forgiveness. Number 3 is where I dropped off last time. And that's stop expecting other people to fulfill needs in my life that only God can fulfill. Stop doing that. You know, I find this with a lot of couples over the 36, 37 years I've been doing this. And oftentimes, the wife thought her husband was going to ride in on that white horse and be that knight in shining armor, and he was going to take care of every one of her needs. Wrong, right? Didn't work out that way. And it won't work out that way because there are certain things that he can't do, certain things he's not yet equipped to do. But there are all things are possible with our Heavenly Father to come alongside and be what it is that you're looking for help in. In verses of chapter 3, beginning here in verse 2b, the second part of that verse, in verse 3, read along with me if you would out loud. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. You spend on your passions. The world, that is to say, our fleshliness, or to say, our unredeemed humanness, urges us to follow after the world. It wants us to go back to where we were prior to our salvation in Christ and love the world. That's what we're being asked to do, to love ourselves. But what we need to be doing is finding what pleasures the Lord Jesus, not ourselves, and pursuing those pleasures that please him. You do not have because you do not ask Jesus for it. And if you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motivation. In verses 4 through the beginning of verse 6, he says, "You adulterous people." He's talking to the church. He's talking to people like that make up Granada Hills Community Church. He's using very pointed, strong words because the church, unfortunately, is made up of people who habitually go back to having a relationship with the world, and they want to call themselves Christians. And that confuses the non-Christians out there. You adulterous people. Adultery, we know, is a sin. It's a violation of a covenant between a man and a woman who have entered into marriage. He's calling us men and women. He's saying, you're sinning. You're being unfaithful. You're being unfaithful to the Lord as though you were engaged in a marriage. And guess what? The Lord is the bridegroom and the church is the bride. What is he considering to be adulterous? Well, let's go on here. He says, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is ekthra, enmity with God?" Ekthra means hostility and hatred. Now, I don't believe, at least I know in my own life, I never got up in the morning, looked in the mirror, and decided, you know what? Today, I'm going to go out and have a relationship with the world and really tick my Heavenly Father off. That's my goal today. I know we don't really do that. But what our Heavenly Father is wanting us to grasp, this is what you're doing. This is what Ron has done. And he's telling us, I take this seriously. I'm saying that you're being unfaithful to me. And that's not what we want to do, is it? No. But he's telling us that's exactly what some of us are doing. He goes on, and James says, "Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself, makes herself an ekthros, enemy of God." And I don't believe any one of us have decidedly wanted to be an enemy of the one true living God. A rebellious Christian who has an illegitimate relationship with the world is at enmity. He or she is saying, and our Lord wants us to understand, is that I am your enemy. I don't like you. I have a hostile feelings toward you. And that may not be your intent. But he wants us to understand this is what we're doing when we're being unfaithful to him, when we're being disobedient to him. Verse 5, "Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says, he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us?" He's very jealous about wanting his spirit to be living in us and changing us to be more conformed to the image of his son. In verse 6, "But he gives more grace." The real issue here, family, is who will you love? Who will you agape? Remember, we looked at last week, we can't serve two masters. We'll either love one and hate the other, or we will love one, despise the other. But he says you can't serve two masters. You cannot serve the world and then come back and then think you can now serve me. You can't serve us both. So who will you love? God or the world? There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. You cannot have two gods, or think of it as a marriage. At least for us in America, we can't have two spouses. And that might be a good thing. You cheat on Abba when you have an affair with the world's values. To love what the world loves is to hate Abba and to be an enemy of our precious Jesus. This is what Scripture means when it says that God's Spirit, who lives inside of us, is intensely jealous. He wants our faithful love, faithful, ongoing love. That's why he gives us so much grace. What can I do to be quarreling less? Well, he wants us to realize how destructive quarreling is. What can I do to be quarreling less? He wants me to decide that I want to change from the way I've been conducting myself, like the world, and to be conformed to the image of Christ, and to go and seek those whom I have hurt, their forgiveness. I can encourage you to take along some Himalayan salt, because if you put that on the crow, it doesn't taste quite as bad. Number four, choose humility over prideful anger. Choose humility over prideful anger. Proverbs 3:13-10 reminds us, by insolence comes nothing but strife. Now, insolence is not a word I use. I don't think I've ever used it in a manuscript or in an essay or in college for one of the reports I had to write. What he's saying is by haughtiness, by superiority, by arrogance, comes nothing but strife. Thinking yourself more better than you ought to. You may be better in some particular way, but we're not to be telling other people about it. We need other people to bless us with the words that say, you are better than me, or something to that effect. By insolence comes nothing but strife, but with those who take advice, for those who take the word of God as it's been being presented to you these last couple of Sunday mornings and put them into practice, he says, this brings wisdom. Wisdom. Pride only leads to quarrels. Verses 6 and 7b. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud. He's saying that God opposes those who pursue their own pleasures over the pleasures of others, particularly over the pleasure of our Heavenly Father. God opposes the proud, but gives charis, who gives grace, who gives this favor, who gives this acceptance to the humble, those who present themselves lowly. They may have a stack of university undergrad and graduate degrees, but you never know it, because they don't throw it in your face that I'm so much smarter than you, or that my experience is so much greater than yours. They receive in They come to you in humility. The Lord Jesus Christ, God, was humble. Humble. He's our example. Jesus will use the people that come to him and are humble. I've met men in the ministry, and they have great experiences. They have outstanding, impeccable credentials. But they are not the people you want to spend any time with, because they spend the whole time telling you how great they are. No. No. Jesus didn't do that. He lived his life in humility before people. In verse 7, he says, submit. Hupostasso. He says, place yourself under. Place yourself in submission, therefore, to God. Because you're humble, place yourself in submission to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you spend this gnosko time, this time of deep personal intimacy, this deep personal experience with him every day, guess what? The devil isn't going to show up. A demon isn't going to show up, because they don't want to be around where Jesus is. They don't want to be around where the Spirit of God and you are having a wonderful time together. They'll come back. They'll come back. Or your flesh will rise up and act like one of them. But as long as you have those gnosko moments, those deep personal experiences with him in prayer and the Word, then they're going to leave you alone. As Scripture says, God opposes the prideful, but gives his grace to the humble. So give yourselves completely to Abba. Verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. He will exalt you if you humble yourself. Let him do that bragging on you. Let him do that. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. This is the attitude of a person that Jesus can and will use to bring glory and honor to himself. This is a person that the Lord Jesus will give the attaboy or the attagirl to, because they are being obedient and they are acting like him. And those kind of people will be able to filter into crowds of other people, into the lives of other individuals, and be liked by them. And there you'll have your opportunity to bring glory to Jesus by talking about him. If you humble yourselves before the Lord, he will lift you up. I want to share a story with you. His name is Ralph Bell. I'd never heard of him until I saw this writing on him. But I want to share him with you. I like him. I like him a lot. He's an associate evangelist with the Billy Graham Association. And he's considered to be a deeply godly, God-fearing, God-obeying man. He's Canadian-born and a black man who lives and ministers in the United States. It says here, as a young man, he struggled with experiences of racial insults and discrimination. Being so treated by fellow Christians, you know, this is why a couple of things that stuck with me when I did a lot of reading about Mahatma Gandhi. He said this: if it weren't not for Christians, I'd be one. You hear what he's saying? If it were not for Christians, I would be one. And he said this as well: I like your Christ. I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are not like your Christ. Isn't that a sad commentary on his experience with people who profess to be Christians? Ralph Bell, he struggled with the experiences of racial insults and discrimination, being so treated by fellow Christians who were disobeying James' instructions about impartiality. And this was especially hurtful to him. Bell shared his struggles with his mother, who counseled him to keep his eyes on Jesus, because Jesus would never disappoint him. As he sought to apply that advice, he began to find the grace to see others' racism as their problem. He further sought grace from God to purify his own life of hatred toward those who mistreated him. In James' terms, Ralph Bell humbled himself before the Lord and found himself being lifted up by the grace of God to be able to love his enemies. How does one love hostile and hurtful people? The answer is supernaturally, by relying on the grace of God that gives you the ability to be humble. Humble. Action plan. Challenge yourself to turn each of your quarrels that you've listed there on that piece of paper into acts of humility. See how you could have turned those acts that were quarrels into acts of humility. Rewrite each one into words of humility and share them with your small group, with your men's group, with your ladies' prayer group, with your ladies' Bible study group, with your small group, share it, or with a trusted friend. Number five, recognize the source behind hurtful words. What's the source? In Ephesians 5:27, you see it there in your notes. It says anger. Would you circle that word? Anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil. You don't want to do that, do you? Of course not. So you have to be sensitive. When that anger rises up, that's when you have a gnosko moment in the midst of that. In James 4:7, the second part of that verse, he says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Well, how are you going to resist him? You can only resist him in the spirit. You can't resist him in the flesh. The flesh is going to become a partner with the devil in this. So we need to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Again, our gnosko moments, our deep personal experiences with him. Not the devil. We do that too often already. We need to do this with Jesus every day. 2 Corinthians 2:11. So that we would not be outwitted by Satan. Circle again. There's our source. Satan, up there in verse 7. Devil. And the helpful thing is the flesh and the devil in Ephesians 4:27. But so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. As we study the Word of God, we become very much aware of what he does to push our buttons to ruin our testimony in following the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. How are you going to do that? You have to put on the new self. You have to have that gnosko moment with the Lord. You need to seek him to put forth the fruit of the Spirit. Love, agape, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, humility, meekness, forgiveness, a heart of compassion, and coming alongside and helping people. Put away these things, he says, from you. You need to do this. And you can do this by inviting him who is the supernatural God who lives within you in that gnosko moment. And he says, along with all malice. Get rid of all bitterness and angry rage. Never shout harsh words, insult. Don't use profanity, cursing, or any other type of rude, hurtful talk. I'm so happy to say that I had breakfast this last week with a man whose name will remain nameless. And I had time with a couple other people, and they were sharing with me how they took last week and the week before's message, and how they had this awful, awful exchange with another person, and they went back and they were practicing these principles before we got to where we are today. And the end result was, instead of now having a negative relationship ongoing with this person, now they have a positive relationship that's going forward. You see, the Word of God changes everything as we put it into practice, as you take those action steps and live them out. The action step for this last point, point five, for each of the quarrels that you listed on that paper, are you able to identify the root cause? Go back, as you saw in those passages of Scripture. Go to your quarrels now and identify the root cause of your personal reason for quarreling. Write down what you believe is the deep reason for quarreling, such as pride, insecurity, jealousy, envy, etc. Those are just to prime the pump. You will recall what it was within you that brought about your part in this quarrel. Number six, talk to the Holy Spirit silently during the quarrel. Now that's going to take something wonderfully dynamic, alive from you. You see, if you have those morning gnosko moments with the Lord, if you're in the Word and in prayer and talking with him, you will find that the Holy Spirit is not, he hasn't gone anywhere. He still lives within you. But in your mind, you will remember you were just with him that morning, and here you are now later morning, early afternoon, whatever it is. And Lord, I need for you to bear that fruit of the Spirit in me. I need self-control right now. I need that patience that's already within me. I need it from you now, and you know I need it now. And watch what happens. Talk to the Holy Spirit silently during a quarrel. Verse 8, draw near to him and he will. This is a promise. He will draw near to you. If you draw close to God, he will draw close to you. Be humble, confess, and repent. You may want to confess and repent to the person you're right there with right then and now. The Holy Spirit does that. I know. Ask for forgiveness. Remember, quarreling can be very destructive. Number seven, invite Jesus to manage my thoughts and words. I really need for him to do that. because my flesh has a whole other idea of what words it might want to use. In my fleshliness, you know, you remember, I was in law enforcement. The other language that people use is profanity. That is the lingua franca of America today. It is profanity. And when I was in the military, I don't know if I spoke regular English because every sentence was laced with profanity. And those words still come to my mind. I can't get rid of those things. However, the Holy Spirit can help me to speak humble, kind, joyful, loving language. But it's letting Him, it's calling on Him to help me do that. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. We are the body of Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. He will help us live in peace if we choose not to live in the flesh. And when someone reminds you, do you think maybe you're in the flesh? Listen attentively, because you may need to ask the Lord to forgive you and to now help you go and do or say and do what's necessary. Let the peace of Christ give control over your thinking. Because as members of Christ's body, each of us are called to live in peace. Get it? Good. Let's pray. My Lord, I don't know when you've asked me to be the center of attention in a message in such a negative way. But I pray that my failure at acting as I should as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, having come and died to you each morning with regard to selfishness, with regard to my arrogance, with regard to so many sinful areas that my flesh loves to live in, I thank you for pointing out from your living, active, authoritative Word of God where I was wrong, why I should know I was wrong, and how you have these last 5-6 weeks, through this message, through your words here from your Bible, are making a wonderful change in my life. And I pray, Father, those changes are going to be there for the rest of my temporal life, until I get to heaven, when I know I will be fully changed. So, Lord, thank you for helping us to discern that the fruit of the Spirit does not include quarreling. And having now understood this, we can be wise with our words through the help of Jesus. Amen.